humble bow.
Oh yeah.
See, it's catching on.
Safe church.
Praise God. Well, my wife is with me tonight. Someone wondering if I was married. She's the one that tells me now, when you go down to Brother Schumacher's, you behave yourself. So I hope I behave myself. Praise God. You look good tonight. It's good to be in church. Good, this number of people. Thank you for loving the Lord and trusting Him. We are COVID-19 survivors, so I had it once. I won't need it again. And you may be seated. I usually try to provide a little anesthesia before the surgery of the word. Thank you, Brother and Sister Portman, for having me. And Brother, thank you. You have a wonderful pastoral couple, and Brother and Sister Schumacher have been our friends for... He did not tell me that he was going to Mexico, though. He said, well, thank God you're coming. And he was gone, so... But we've been friends over the years. We think and feel a lot alike about the work of God, about the church. I'll say this, if you really want to live for God and you want to live a holy life and sanctified, separated from the world, if you want to be a profitable servant and be a soul winner, you can do that in this church. Praise God. If you have something else in mind, you may be uncomfortable. But there's always repentance. Always repentance. Repentance is not something you do once in a lifetime, but it's something that you must be ready to do all the time. Is this loud enough? Is this good and hot? Praise God. How many remember the 10 things God never says? Do you remember them? I know the first time I presented this, I had more requests for the 10 than I did for my message. So let's let you know how good they are. Okay. 10 things God never says. What was it? Oops. Oops. Number 2, what have I done? Number 3, how did I let that happen? Number 4, I made a mistake. Number 5, it was an accident. Number 6, I don't know what to do. Number 7, I'm afraid of what will happen now. Number 8, I can do better than that. Number 9, what do you think I should do? Number 10, why didn't I think of that? Okay. 10 things God never says. I'm glad he never says those things. Amen. Praise God. I have a message tonight, and we've already had ministering of the word here. We've had a wonderful altar call, and hopefully this will be an addition to that and help us draw a little closer. I want to minister to you tonight, and you'll get through this. You'll get through this. You'll get through this. You will get through this. Well, maybe by the time I'm done ministering, you'll believe that. Romans 8:28, and we know, saying we know. And we know that all things work together. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And God has a plan, even in this pandemic. This was not a surprise to him. In fact, it was not a surprise to a lot of people. They anticipated this, knew this long before it came. God is not surprised by this. God will take this and bring something good out of this. Thank you, Lord. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't cave in and collapse, we will do well. There was a young mother, after 20 years of marriage and three kids, dozen moves, had a husband leave her for a younger model. The question is, what do you say to a couple like that? What do you say to a person like that? Pray for her, and then what do you say? You could say this: you'll get through this. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be quick. It won't be easy. But God will use this mess for good. In the meantime, don't be foolish or naive, but don't despair either. In the meantime, pray. Pray, and God will help you through this. Now, in the midst of my 2 weeks of recovering from COVID-19, I came across this scripture. I don't have it underlined yet in my Bible. I will, but I had read this many times, and it meant something to me. It's very special during this time. Isaiah 41 and 10 says this: fear thou not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I have that on a little 3x5 card. I have it in my console in the Jeep, and I get that out and I read that every now and then. When I think of what we've been through, when I think of what the church has been through, what the church is going through, I look at that and I say, Lord, that's your promise. And you gave that to me in the midst of recovering from COVID-19, and I'm going to hang on to that promise. The word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4 and 6, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by my power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Praise God. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. We want it to be painless. If you're going to solve this problem, Lord, and bring me through, we want it to be painless. But I promise you that it will be painless. It will not be painless. It will be quick. It will not be quick. We want it quick. We want it instant. We want it right now. We want a quick solution to our problems. We want an instant coffee, an instant drive-through. We want everything now. And we want it our way. We want it as fast as we can get it. But this is going to be a process. It's not going to be quick. It's not going to be painless. And it's not going to be easy. We want an easy solution. We want it to work out quickly. Lord, clean this mess up and get me through this so I don't have to endure. I don't have to go through this. But I promise you tonight that it won't be easy. But God will use this mess for good. Praise God. Pay attention to the situation you're in and try to find God in the situation. And try to be a good finder. Look for the good that's coming out of this situation. Because God is aware of where you are. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you always, even unto the end of the world. A very present help in time of trouble. A friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You're not alone in this tonight. God is there. God is monitoring everything. He's got everything under control. If you read the news, you think this world is out of control. But it's not out of control. It's right on schedule with prophecy. God's got everything under control, and he's aware of everything that's going on. And we're in the last days, and things are going to get worse before they get better. What an audacious, daring statement to make to someone who's hurting. You'll get through this. It won't be painless. It won't be easy. It won't be quick. It almost seems like an audacious thing to say to someone that's really hurting. But there's a reason we can be so bold in our statement tonight. It's because it comes from a deep, dark, dry pit. So steep the boy couldn't climb out. Had he been able to, his brothers would have shoved him back in, for they were the ones that threw him there in the first place. They had brought him to this place. They were going to seize the moment to seize and silence him forever. No more dreams, no more prophecy about bowing down to them. They were there to destroy him. It was an abandoned cistern. Jagged rocks and roots protruded from its side. 17-year-old boy lay at the bottom. Donnie Beard, spindly arms and legs, hands bound, ankles tied. He lay on his side, knees to his chest, cramped in a small space, eyes wide with fear, and his voice coarse from screaming. It wasn't that his brother didn't hear him. Later on, 22 years later, we found out that they knew exactly where he was. They heard his cry. They said, "We did not hear him. We were more interested in eating and drinking than rescuing our brother. They were there to destroy him." These are the great-grandsons of Abraham, sons of Jacob, couriers of God's covenant to the world. These were the tribes will bear their names. Names of Jesus, the name of Jesus Christ will appear in their family tree. They are the scriptures equivalent of royalty. Yet that fateful day, lunch meant more than their brother's salvation. They despised the boy. They hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. They hated him even more. They envied him. They despised him. I told our church this morning, you've got to be careful who you share your dreams with. Be careful who you share your blessings with. Not everybody is as happy as you are. But I'll tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you can be happy for other people's blessing. You can be happy for other people's success, other people's healings, other people's answer to prayer. When God does for them what perhaps he has not yet done for you, but you can be happy and rejoice with them and be grateful and give God the glory. Praise God. That's a wonderful sign of spiritual maturity. Anger distorts judgment. They were angry with him, and your anger distorts your judgment. I read this a long time ago. It was fascinating. Even the godfathers in the mafia will not murder out of anger. They murder out of business transactions. This is a necessary death to assure our business. They do not react in anger because anger distorts judgment. Anger makes you careless. My dad was not a born-again Pentecostal, but he told me this a long time, years ago. He was a charter driver, and he heard some of the very prominent CEOs and church leaders and choir directors in our city. He said, "You know, when men are mad, they'll tell you what they really think of you." And I try to remember that. When people are angry, they will tell you what they really think of you. Praise God. Praise God. Angry people tell you what they want. They're uncontrolled, they're uninhibited, and they release pent-up feelings that are inside. That's why it's important we control our anger. The most challenging thing we'll do is control our anger. Here's why. The father pampered Joseph. He had two wives, Leah and Rachel, but one love, Rachel. When Rachel died, giving birth to Benjamin, Jacob kept her memory alive by fawning over the firstborn. Here's a case of favoritism in a family. If that's happening in your family, that's something we need to correct quickly because it does not work. It does not work. Brothers worked all day and Joseph played all day. They were secondhand clothes, but Jacob gave him a very wonderful, elegant coat of many colors.